Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini. He's our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. We'd like to talk today a little bit about negative interest rates. I haven't figured that out. Even in my conventional class in college on economics, they never even talked about it. But now with this modern monetary theory, I guess we have to adjust and find out what it is. But quite frankly, I don't think there's anything modern about it. It's different, but it's just part of the old problem that we have when people get monopoly control over money. They like it. They counterfeit it. They print it up like crazy. They get political power and economic power. But guess what? It finally comes to an end. And I think that's what we're witnessing here. Because I don't think they set out 2 or 3 years ago and think, well, we have to keep these interest rates low, go as low as possible. It's okay. It'll work out. We'll produce. We'll stimulate the economy, and they'll pay for all that spending we have. But it's here. It shouldn't surprise a lot of people. Because we know the determination of the people in Washington to continue to spend. If they're going to spend, they have to pay for it. And in the meantime, they don't pay for it by either high taxes, thank goodness they're high enough, or by just working harder. And that doesn't happen. And with if an individual goes bankrupt, and that's what I think we're facing is bankruptcy, an individual has to work harder or get another job and pay it off. But the country isn't bankruptcy. And that's where I'm coming from. And that means debt is important, but the Federal Reserve is a facilitator. I used to use that word in the hearing. They are the great facilitators because they facilitate the military complex, the welfare and warfare, and all the stimulation that Wall Street wants. So the great facilitator, who's everybody has been pleased with, there's one thing for sure. The shortcomings of the great facilitator has been pointed out by our president, and he's annoyed. But unfortunately for us, Chris, I think he's annoyed at the wrong things. He just wants them to do more and more and more, faster and faster, and negative. If others are doing negative, we can't be left out of the party. So I think this represents the whole system is at stalemate. We have bankruptcy. The debt is overwhelming, and they don't have an answer.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And this week, specifically, the Fed had to do some emergency intervention because the market on the short end, rates shot up to 10%, and the Fed had to come in and print $53 billion one day, and then the next day, another $75 billion just to push rates down. And you really have to think about those words, emergency intervention. It means that reality, economic reality, when it appears, it's an emergency. This is why we say that the Fed must ultimately fail. They're fighting a fight that they cannot win. You cannot beat reality. And for now, they're able to push rates back. The reality is going to come back even stronger next time. What happens when they have to print $100 billion or $500 billion or even a trillion just to try? And what's that going to do to the dollar? So it's like standing in front of a hurricane. You're not going to defeat the market. Markets are way more powerful than any central planner that has ever lived. And they will ultimately fail.
You know, the reason they gave was that the people who needed to repurchase their securities, which they sell temporarily, and then they go to the overnight market, and that's when the rates go up so high. But they essentially did a QE, the way I see it. They're going to buy these securities, and they create the money out of thin air. They don't want to call it a QE. But when you get up to 50, 100 billion dollars, you're doing something big. So they're not going to call it QE, but we're in the middle of QE, and the markets are expecting that. That was one thing that the Federal Reserve Board Chairman mentioned the other day, was, yes, this is what we're doing, and we're doing better, and we're in good shape. But if necessary, we're going to be there. And that is the reason that to understand what's going on, people have to realize that the Fed is part of the plunge protection team, and they are the facilitators. Their job is not to make sure the real wage for the working person goes up or maintains their value. The real purpose is to keep stock markets up, and there'll be a trickle down. Everybody will benefit from it. But they have mistakenly accepted the principle that if you print a lot of money and you get the money out there, the country will be wealthier. But if you have more debt and less productivity, you're not wealthier. And I think that is what everybody's facing now. The country isn't as wealthy. On the surface, they can produce some things. They look at what we have. We have this great military, and we have this. Yeah, but it's all based on debt, and the bills are coming due because they can't even, you know, loan their money out, borrow the money for one night, and then pay it back the next day or two with about the same amount of money that they come up short, and there's a crisis of it, and they have to go back for the rescue. And of course, the Federal Reserve is there, and they might, you know, come back to us and say, "Yeah, but what would you have done? Wouldn't this have been a big problem if they wouldn't have facilitated that?" It would have been, but it isn't because you're trying to clean up the mess and tell them you ought to take your medicine. It's because they created this bubble and created all this debt and all this illusion. But politically, they're right. Nobody's going to accept it. So that is why we have to plan on this continuing. And the only thing that I can see that might be good and will eventually be good is we will no longer be able to afford the empire, and we will have to accept the idea that the dollar is not reigning supreme forever, because we just can't do that, and they have to rig that to make people think that that will. And that's why, you know, we put on sanctions and do all these things. We back it up with military might. And I think that empire idea is coming to an end, but that's a bipartisan issue. Nobody from the Democratic leadership wants to get rid of, you know, the military-industrial complex. They don't argue against deficit finance. And here we have the Republicans, the good conservative Republicans in charge, and I even have the Senate. But the spending marches on, the debt marches on. We're facing more than $1 trillion this year, and it's done by this, modern monetary theory. And of course, when we first heard about that, people say, "Oh, that's terrible. That's those socialists that are getting in there, and they're getting too much attention." But you know, the whole idea of fiat money has been around for a long time. But if you want to talk about, you know, a gigantic bubble with fiat money, just look at all the statistics and what has happened since 1971, when the last link to any restraint on the Federal Reserve, and that was the gold standard, was eliminated. And that has been the number one reason why we're facing this crisis.
Right, Dr. Paul. And while the Fed, you know, tries to keep interest rates in fantasy land, unfortunately, as you alluded to earlier, the president is doing his job in keeping the American people in a fantasy. Because it's always great, it's always sunny in the United States. Just stay focused on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because that's the be-all and end-all. And the president likes to tell us there's no inflation, which is ridiculous. I see my bills, and they go in one direction only, and that's up. So, and it's not just me. I saw a news item this week that consumer credit in July is soared, despite the fact that credit card interest rates are at 18-year highs. So Americans, in order to get by, are taking on record debt, despite the fact that interest rates are soaring. You know, soaring interest rates are discourage debt, but people are in such bad shape that they're taking on the debt despite the interest rates. So the president is not helping. He's not telling the truth. He's thinking about his own reelection, but that does us no good.
Yes, and you know, the other thing that the socialist-minded individuals in Congress point out is, sound money and free markets, they don't work. Look at what we have here. Blaming free markets is obviously, incorrect in what they're doing. And that system that we put up with, and we've said this many times, does appeal to the very wealthy, and Wall Street gets the money, they get it cheap, and their prices of their stocks will go up faster than real wages will go up. So what do we end up with? We end up with a lot of people, you know, out in the street, even working people have jobs, and they can't afford rents. And that's part of this discrepancy between the wealth going to the wealthy versus the poor. But what about the bailouts? I used to talk a lot about that, of bailouts in 08 and 09, with those trillions and trillions of dollars. They always bailed out the banks and the mortgage companies. And the average person that had a mortgage, they lost it, or they were penalized. But right now, you mentioned the consumer debt. It's over $4 trillion. And the interest rates now, I can't believe it. It's up to 15 to 17%. So, but the job of the Federal Reserve is to keep interest rates low. This means the market is stronger than the Fed, and that's essentially what happened the other day when the Fed funds went up. That's the market saying, hey, you guys have this stuff underpriced. And that's also the case when they try to fix the price of gold at $35 an ounce. The market eventually overrides that. So now that the news is reporting that there's bailouts coming, and they get overnight bailout up to $75 billion at this, you know, at the snap of their fingers. But what about these people now who have been hooked, who have gone from month to month, and they get trapped into this using their credit cards, which is a real crime in itself, but it's really doing what the system teaches everybody to do and what the government wants them to do, and the business people want you to do this, and they want you to keep doing it, but they're not going to get bailed out. Their interest rates are up. Nobody's saying, we're going to pass a law next week and make a credit card debt interest rate at 1%. You know, what Trump is talking about, he wants negative rates. Do you think they're going to give the consumer who's in hock, you know, low interest rates or no interest rates, or get a bonus for, you know, borrowing the money from them? Now, I think what I'm saying here is that the conflict between the rich and the poor will get much worse once again. And the thing that the job I think we have is to point out that they cannot get away with blaming free markets and sound money and limited government and property and contracts for all the problems that we face. It's more complex than that. And most everything that we do wrong has been, instigated by financing, not by directly having the people pay, because they couldn't afford it and it would all end. We don't pay for the wars. The Federal Reserve has to be there to dilute this up and dilute it with new money when nobody knows exactly who the victims are, and then you don't have to rescue them. But in the meantime, there are some people quite savvy to how the system works, and they come multi-billionaires.
Right, Dr. Paul, and I'll finish by saying, there's a reason why we discuss the Fed as much as we do. It really is the beating heart of big government. And America's founders were brilliant in this respect, mostly because they went through hyperinflation. They know what it's like for hyperinflation. You know, there was a statement, not worth a continental. That's how worthless it became. And they knew, and they put it in the Constitution, that, you know, no one, especially the federal government, should have the power to counterfeit. It's a crime to counterfeit. But once 1913 rolled around, the founders were sufficiently forgotten by then, and they created this central bank. And from that time in 1913 until the present day, we now have the biggest government to ever exist on the face of the earth, with endless wars, with endless welfare, walking around handing away free stuff that they don't have. And this will not go away as long as there's a Federal Reserve. We can't close our eyes and wish it away, and we can't ignore it and say, oh, they'll figure it out. They will not figure it out, and it's going to hurt us. So the longer they exist, the worse it's going to be. We have to go back to the Constitution. No one should be allowed to counterfeit money, and then maybe we'll have a better chance of having a government that's chained down by an actual Constitution.
Very good. You know, I want to close by talking a little bit about Bill Gates, because he was in the news this week because his portfolio last year went up $16 billion. And he admitted that, you know, a lot of that came because he was buying back stocks that he owned. So buybacks increases the value. I don't know how the disclosure laws work on that, but he was disclosing that he did that, and he's the second richest man in the world today. He has $106 billion, made it, I would say, according to the rules, at least, maybe not our rules that we would like to have, but he understood inflation, he understood interest rates, he understood the government and all these things, and he became very, very wealthy. And this week he was getting wealthier as other people were scurrying around wondering what to do. But I think the sad part of all this is an individual like that has been able to understand this fiat system and advocate it, and then support tax reform for us. And the tax reform, and I think it can affect just about everybody, not just the middle class and high middle income people, just the average person, you know, that has to pay the tax, the inflation tax, for instance. But he's advocating, and he admits that we have to deal with this debt and deficit. So he is advocating a wealth tax. The total wealth ought to be counted up, and every year you have to pay a percentage on it. And he thinks the estate tax is fine. You know, what if they come in? He has $106 billion. You know, what if they take $10 billion from her? Whatever. You know, that's no big deal for him. But other people, you know, I was impressed during my congressional career that the people who were most opposed to the estate tax were the people that had maybe a farm and a ranch or a business where the value of that was much higher than what it looked like on paper. You know, it was in something, you know, that was firm. They have to sell some of that in order to pay the estate tax. So it's a vicious tax. And he and Gates also advises that we raise the income tax. So big deal. He can come along and do as well as he did. And I'm not suggesting that he did anything that was he was working in an immoral system that he understood, because this doesn't happen if you have sound money. You don't have that kind of distortion in distribution of wealth, and we wouldn't have a military industrial complex. We wouldn't have a welfare state. It would be entirely different. But nevertheless, I think even a Bill Gates knows the country just maybe shouldn't do this forever, and maybe we ought to do something, and taxing would be a good idea. But the penalty, once again, would be so great on the lower income people than on the higher income people. And it's done that way mainly because of fiat money, which helps some rich people to get much richer and some poor people who can't keep up with their wages. Their wages can't pay for the inflation. And then the government comes back and says, oh, there's no inflation. What we're working on is getting prices to go up more than 2% per year. And what they're talking about is liquidation. That's what's in store for us. It's ongoing. Debt is always being liquidated because the value of the dollar goes down. But at the end, it goes down rapidly, and all the debt disappears. You know, if you owe $1 million and you have a 20% or 200% increase in the nominal value of your money, you can pay off all your debt. And that's what they're trying to do, and they will do it. That's how it'll be liquidated. All debt gets liquidated, but it rarely, maybe never, gets liquidated by government, you know, just not paying the bills. Everybody's going to get their check from Social Security, and they, but they'll run into trouble because eventually people won't accept the money. That's when you have to draw back on it. It's whether or not you will maintain value in the currency. Yes, they're going to print the money and the debt will be liquidated, but they better change the rules so that we can all go back to work and be able to have the incentives to work hard and save and take care of ourselves. It's not difficult. I think it's rather simple to understand, and I know a lot of people like it, but it's also very tempting. Well, if Gates can participate in this and do so well, I have to take my share too, and I understand that too. But this is coming to an end. It's going to give us an opportunity to offer something other than modern monetary theory and deficit financing, because something else has to replace it. And I believe that studying Austrian economics, we are provided with an alternative. If we believe in the non-aggression principle, it will tell us exactly what we ought to do with our legislative laws and what Congress should be doing. So I think the answers are not complex. It's just that who wants to take the penalty and pay it out? So let's let it go along and see what happens, because they've been able to string this out for a good while, and eventually though it'll have to be taken care of. I think we're approaching it, and that's why I think these negative interest rates are a signal we're getting much, much closer. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.